Amen. Amen. It's good to give. It is so good to give. The word says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So when you give, you just automatically are blessed. You just not only are physically blessed but because God will bless you, but you just feel good. It just feels good to give. So before we do anything else, I'm just going to open up in a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your spirit that leads us into all truth. And Lord, today we thank you for what you have for us. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, you said in the word that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but that you have come to give life and life more abundantly. So devil, you will not steal, kill, or destroy the word that God has for us today. We have come and we are expecting life. We thank you, Lord, for the word that is life and strength to our bones. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in us both today and in the future for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. For new generation, new gen, hashtag new gen, whatever. When do you guys meet? When does that meet? Mondays after school. Where do you guys meet? In Mr. Nelson's class. So if there's any high school students that you guys would like to join that, Mondays after school, Mr. Nelson's room. Awesome. That is so cool. I already shared this before, but just because they were just talking about it again, you know, God is on the rise in our schools. When we were walking around Douglas High School and we were praying, God had told me that his glory is on the rise. His glory is on the rise. And when we were walking around Douglas High School, I had seen almost like geysers or water mains breaking and just water just shooting forth up and around the high school. And the Lord had told me in the spirit that things that were held back are going to be broken and bursting forth, that his glory is going to burst forth and it's going to flood the school. And it's just, I'm excited. And this morning in prayer, you know, God had shared a word about it in my spirit about how the dams are breaking and things that were once held back are bursting forth. It is the acceptable and good year of the Lord. I tell you what, God is doing good things. He's doing awesome things. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 61. God is good. He is so good. So good. Yes, all the time. And all the time, God is good. Awesome. When you're there, say amen. Amen. We got a few. All right, we're just going to go with this. Isaiah 61, and I'm using the NIV version today, mixing it up. Isaiah 61. Verse 1 through 3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Hallelujah. That is good. And when I was preparing this, okay, how many of you like good news? Good news, okay, good news. We watch the news and it just seems like, you know, like everything's just worse and worse. Everything's, you know, there's a new scandal, new something happening every day. We like good news. The word says that blessed are the feet of those who carry the good news. So thank you, Lord, that my feet are blessed, especially in these shoes today. But yeah, God wants you to know that it is the year of his favor for you in your life. It is the time of his favor for you. If anyone is brokenhearted, anybody, you know, is going through something, you need to take comfort because God is speaking to you today. He wants to speak to you today. He is saying captives will be released, prisoners will be freed. Anyone in mourning, God is telling you today, it is time of his favor on your life. You will be justified. You will be justified. It is time for your crown of beauty. It is time. It is time. It is time for blessing. It is time to live a life of praise. In the New Living Translation, it says festive praise. Festive praise. You know, and we can say, well, thank you, Jesus. You know, but that's not festive praise. Festive praise is thank you, Lord. This is doing a dance and a shout. The word says that David danced with all of his might before the Lord. I mean, a festive praise is more than just, you know, You have God's favor. And I felt that so strongly that God wanted me to start this message with good news. You have favor from God. You are blessed from God. The word says that you've been called out of darkness and into the light. Not everyone believes in God. Denise was sharing that this morning, how every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but not willingly. Not every knee will willingly bow, but they will. But you have been chosen. Out of everybody in the world, God chose you and said, from the beginning of time, he knew that you were going to believe in him, that you were going to be a chosen one, a favored one, blessed, blessed. Who wants God's favor?
I do.
I want God's favor. We need it. It's time. It's time. His glory is on the rise. His glory is on the rise. A couple years ago, there was a prophecy that had been about waves coming, and it's time to ride the wave of his glory. It's time to ride the waves of his glory. And I just pray that everybody would have ears to hear and eyes to see what God is doing today. Lord, give us hearts and minds to understand and receive what you have for us today. Hallelujah. It is time to live out the promise of the tithers in Malachi 3:12. It says in 3:12 that all nations will call you blessed. In the Message, I shared this a few weeks ago, the Message version, it says that you will be voted happiest nation. That's the givers. We will be voted happiest nation. Happiest nation. That's what I want. And when I was getting ready for this, God had given me a word, and he said, you've been planting in me, and now it's time for harvest. You will begin to see the fruits of your labor, the produce from the many seeds that you have planted over the years. So everybody that's here that you've been planting, and you've been praying, and you've been waiting, and you've been, you know, just believing, God is saying that you're going to start to see the fruits of those seeds that you have been planting, because it is the year of God's favor. It is time for the Lord's favor. You will begin to see that. Joel 2:25-26. I have it. I'm just going to read it. We'll put it up there. But it says 25 and 26, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. God is restoring what has been eaten in your life. You have the Lord's favor. This is good news. Those of you that are needing it, this is for you. You have God's favor. God is going to be restoring what the locusts have eaten. That flood is going to water those seeds that we've thought were just dead and fell on dry ground. The water of his spirit, his glory, is going to water those, and we're going to begin to see them shoot and take root and little sprouts, and it's going to be awesome. It's a time of promises being fulfilled. The latter rain to solidify our harvest. Hallelujah. That's good, right? That's good. Those are good promises from God. And I had like my whole message, you know, started and in your head, like those of you that have done this before, I'm like, oh yeah, this will be good. And then we'll do like this. And I was writing it all down. And as I was writing it down, I kept feeling in my spirit like, no, no, no. And I'm like, no, God, this will be perfect. Nope. You know, I was like, okay, he wanted you. This is not what I had started with. God wanted me to share this with you because it is the time for his blessing in your life. It is time for his glory. His glory is on the rise. We're not talking about just Douglas High School, but in your life. God is on the rise. He is always on the increase. If we've talked about this recently, about how astronomers and scientists are seeing that just the universe just keeps expanding. They think that they're getting to the end and it just keeps going. That when the Big Bang happened, you know, it's just still going out. Yeah, the Big Bang happened. God said, let there be light. And boom, you know, the whole thing happened and it's just going. God is always on the increase. So God should always be on the increase in our life. Hallelujah. Why? Why? Like some of you may be sitting there like, oh, here's the catch. She's going to want something or whatever. There's no catch. Let's go back to Isaiah 61. We're back there. Isaiah 61, 3. This is the core, the key to today. Okay, so talking about the year of the Lord's favor and providing for those who grieve in Zion. Comfort to those who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty for instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And they will be called, this is the key, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will be called, we will be called, the church will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the displaying of his splendor. God wants you to display his glory. He wants you to shine his glory. He wants to move his glory through you. It's time. It's time. All these things, all these promises that are being fulfilled, that you're going to see fulfilled, it's so that you can shine God's glory, so you can display his splendor in the world that you live in your sphere of influence. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has been ministering, well, God has been ministering about the Holy Spirit like the last three or four services. If you've been here, if you haven't, I encourage you, listen to them. God is telling us something. God is telling us something. On Wednesday, Reuben talked about walking in the Spirit and the fullness of God. And I don't think he knew. Like, I was sitting there and I was taking notes and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it was just, it was awesome. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are called to receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it's not so that we can just feel good or get goosebumps. It's so that we can live and walk in his power, to be a witness of God's glory to the whole earth. And we just read in Joel the promise about you know, that God is restoring what the locusts have eaten. And in verse 27, after he says that, he says, then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know. God is going to be fulfilling the promises in you that you've been praying for, that you've been believing for, that go in alignment with his word, that so that you can display his glory, so that people will know that there is a God in Israel, that there is a God in the church, that it is real. You are to be his witnesses to the world. Reuben had talked about the knowing on the inside, that still small voice, this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and so important to know that. I'm kind of just recapping the last couple of messages. And you can know something, you know, you can know something, but you may not really know it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe some of you in work or in school, like, you know people in the classroom, but you may not know everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you may not really know them. And we can know the Spirit. Like, yeah, you know, Holy Spirit makes people, you know, speak in tongues and does all these things. But God wants us to know his Spirit. He wants us to know his heart. Because, I mean, I tell you what, at least for me, my own conviction is that if I really understood and had that true intimate relationship with the Spirit that God wants us to have, I mean, we'd be radical. We'd be, like, it said in the word that Paul, just the very shadow, you know, just his shadow. People just want to stand in his shadow to get healed. You know, Jesus, when he would spend time, I mean, he would just get this radiance about him. And God wants us to be intimate with him. And then on Sunday, Mitch preached about this Holy Spirit, the character of the Holy Spirit, who we have on the inside. And then last Wednesday, and Mitch had no idea what Barbara had preached about because he was in youth group, and Barbara preached about the same thing, the character of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Spirit. Eric talked about going from sin consciousness to God consciousness, how we need to, you know, live with the Holy Spirit as our teacher. I mean, God is telling us. He is telling us. He is saying, hello, you need to realize who's on the inside of you and walk in the glory that you were designed to carry. We are designed to carry God's glory. The word says that we're to go from glory to glory, not from to. You know, God wants us to go higher places, bigger places, better places. Hallelujah. It's time. It's time to fulfill your destiny. It's time to fulfill your destiny. Like, oh my God, you know my destiny? You know what I'm supposed to do? Like, that's the big question, right? Like, everybody wants to know, like, what am I supposed to do with my life? And, you know? Yeah. Isaiah 61:3 says that you're a planting of the Lord to display his splendor on the earth. That is your destiny. So whether it's in school, whether it's in, you know, a job that you hate or with a family that doesn't like you, wherever it is, you are planted there to display God's glory. You are planted there to change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone here may not have the same call or same path. I mean, you know, we're not all going to do the same thing. We're not all going to be teachers or all going to be pastors or all going to be whatever. But we have the same design. Each of us were made in the image of God to display his glory on the earth. We have the same purpose, you know. We may not all take the same path to get there, but our purpose is to display God's glory wherever God takes us. To change the world, to change the world. Hallelujah. To bring the reality of heaven to the earth. When we were at camp, John Smithwick said, and it was just, he's awesome. If you have a chance, watch, what is it, God TV, Mitch? Global Ventures. GlobalVentures.tv, he goes and they document, and I know, you know, like pastors, they go and they have these awesome testimonies about these things that happen. Well, John Smithwick has a global ministry called Global Ventures, and they go into these third world countries and these crazy countries, and they document these things. And if you have a chance, go and watch it. God's glory is moving throughout the earth. Talk to these people. They can give you testimonies of things that God has done. I mean, it is awesome. God's glory is on the rise. And he had said at camp that the church, we are designed to be divine enforcers of Satan's defeat and Jesus' kingdom reign on the earth. That's what we're designed to do, to enforce the devil's defeat and Jesus' victorious reign on the earth. That's what we're designed to do. Everybody okay? Everybody awake? All right, let's turn to Jeremiah 17. So if you're still in Isaiah, just keep going. It might take me a little bit longer. This is not my normal Bible. And if you who have multiple Bibles, you know what I'm talking about. Like, if it's not your usual, it just kind of feels a little weird. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. New Living says, a shrub in the desert. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. He does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Mitch, can you find that for me in my other Bible, please? That's us. That's us. Hallelujah. Thank you. Verse 7, New Living. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That is what we are called to do. You know, God built us with quality materials. He built us with quality stuff. Like, you know, if we read in Genesis 1, when God made stuff, what did he say? When he saw it, the word says that he saw it and saw that it was good. God doesn't make junk. God makes good things. Okay, so a good example. Growing up, before we moved to Douglas, I moved around a lot. And even when we lived in Douglas for the first few years, and, well, let's just say it, I moved around a lot. And any of you moved, or I know, you know, like my dad and Therese moved recently, moving sucks. To pack sucks, to unpack, you know, is horrible. It's just, moving's not very fun. And then finding people to help you, and it's sweaty, and, you know, it's just not fun. And we had this huge desk that went with us to every house, whether we had room for it or not. This desk went with us, and it was huge. It was like this big thing, and it was an L shape, like one of those big ones. You know, like, it wasn't even, like, convenient. It was just this huge, like, office-style desk that we had that went with us to every single house. And my mom, she had these dressers and cabinets that were, like, so heavy. You needed 3 or 4 people to carry them. I don't know if they were oak or not, but they were heavy quality wood. They lasted. They lasted through youth kids carrying them and moving them, and testify to that. But, you know, they were quality. They were quality materials. Mitch and I haven't moved, but over the last several years, we've been married 5 years now, right? Right. guys, just so you know, in our marriage, I'm the one who forgets every anniversary. Every anniversary. And Mitch is so thoughtful. He's gotten me, like, the symbolic gifts, you know, like the, this is the year of leather. So here, and it's beautiful. It's great. And he gives them to me, and then I'm like, happy anniversary. You know, like, it's, so take heart. You're not the only one. Anyways, in the last 5 years that we've been together, we've had several, like, bookshelves and TV, bookshelves and DVD shelves and things of that nature that we bought at Walmart. So, I don't know what the furniture thing, but it's basically great value Walmart furniture, okay? And, If you guys know about Great Value Walmart furniture, you can set it up, but that means you can never, ever move it again because it will fall apart. The back will come off. The whole thing will splinter. You know, somebody will get stabbed with a nail. It's bad. And, I mean, they just fall apart. They look nice, so wherever you set it, that's there forever. Just look at it. It looks nice. It's got the painted, so it looks like real wood, but it's not. It's particle board. And the first time I bought it, I thought that it was, like, going to be good because the picture looks real good. And we put it up, and I'm like, what is this? What is this, you know? But it's just painted over wood. People don't build quality things with cheap materials. You get what you pay for. So Mitch and I have gone through about 4 or 5 of these shelves when we could have just bought one that would last and last and last like those desks. We have since gotten rid of the desks, and somebody else has it, and they will use it forever. It'll last till Jesus comes back. I mean, it's just... And the word says that we are oaks of righteousness. Oaks. That means we have quality. We were made with quality. We were made to last. Whether you know it mentally or not, God designed you to last through heat, through drought, through floods, through windstorms. Yes, through moves. And I always remember John Coates, one of the times that we had gone to Tulsa for whichever, whatever thing we went to, he had shared a little bit about how, you know, in Tulsa, they get those crazy storms. Like, they get, like, tornadoes and all that stuff that we don't get here. And, yeah, crazy stuff. And he had said how, like, every time there's these humongous storms that, you know, all these trees come down all around the neighborhood and stuff like that. But he said, but I guarantee you, the ones that are always standing are those big, huge oak trees. The oaks last. The oaks last through the storms. And God is saying, you're an oak of righteousness designed to display God's glory and to last through anything and everything that comes your way. You are designed to last. You are designed to testify and be a witness to God's glory and his splendor on the earth. Hallelujah. Wherever you are planted. Oak furniture needs several people to move. It's not easy. You know, The great value kind, we have one like leaning in the basement that we tell kids, like, don't touch that. Just walk by it. Like, don't even look at it. You can like tap it and it'll blow over. That's not how we're designed to be. That's not how God created us to be. We are oaks made out of quality material created by qualified hands. He had qualified hands and made us with qualified quality material. Hallelujah. Oaks have deep roots, you know. John Coates had said that they're the ones that last through all those storms. And recently, in the beginning of the monsoon season, there was like this, you know, one of the first big storms that we had. I remember going by APS, and that little parking lot in between the library and APS, there used to be a tree there, a big tree that was on the APS side, and it was totally fallen over. And we were getting, you know, we were doing something at the bank, and I told Mitch, like, look, that whole tree's fallen over. And you looked, and you could see its roots were the short little ball. It was just like, boop. I'm like, oh my gosh, how could that big tree last that long with just a little bit of roots? Verse 6 of Jeremiah, it talked about people that don't trust in the Lord, that they will be like a bush in the wastelands. A bush in the wastelands, a short little root ball with nothing to stand on, nothing to grab hold to. Stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. But not us. Not us, and that's not what we were designed to be. Verse 8, we were designed to be like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that go deep into the water. Deep roots. Deep roots. If you're like, what are you talking about? Like, what water? What river? You know, you're reading that, and it's like, what are you talking about? What river are you talking about? The Holy Spirit, people, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the river. Jesus said that he has living water. Living water. John chapter 7. I got my standby, so we're good. John 7:38 says, anyone who believes in me, come and drink. This is Jesus talking. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. The King James Version says, out of his belly. And I always sing that song, like, out of your belly. No, Eddie James? No? All right. Gospel. You guys need to listen to some gospel, okay? But out of his heart, out of our belly, will flow rivers of living water. Now, does that mean that you're going to have, like, never mind, I'm not going to go there. But God wants to flow out of you. He wants to flow out of you. Hallelujah. Jesus. John 4, 13 and 14, this is again Jesus. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. He was talking to a woman who was standing at a well, okay? Woman at the well. And he said, anyone who drinks this water, speaking about natural water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So what's the promise? What did Jesus promise us when he ascended to heaven? What was his promise? What happened in Acts chapter 2? This Holy Spirit, what God has been knocking on our heads with is trying to get us to understand the Spirit, trying to get us to understand who is on the inside of us. And I tell you, I am not there yet either, but God is telling us we got to get it. We have to get and understand who is living on the inside of us. The same God that said, let there be light, that same power that is still going forth at the end of the universe that is just extended beyond what I just said, that same Spirit lives inside of us. We were designed to carry his glory. Designed to carry his glory. Revelations 22. Let's go there. If you don't know where it is, it's the last one. Last book. Revelations 22, verse 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Do you guys see that? They were planted along the river. So they were planted with the Spirit And they bore fruit in every month. That means fall and winter, in the heat of the summer, when it was uncomfortable, the trees still bore fruit. They still bore fruit. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. Oh, that was amazing. You guys ever just flip to it? It makes me feel so proud of myself. Well, bam. Ezekiel 47, verse 7. Okay. So this is a vision that the prophet Ezekiel was shown. Verse 7, when I turned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Go to verse 9. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple, the Holy Spirit. The fruit will be food for food and the leaves for healing. If we had gone back in verse 8 of Jeremiah, it said they will be trees planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. They do not fear when heat comes, and leaves always are green. They have no worries in a year of drought and never fail to bear fruit. We are designed to produce and bear fruit even the most uncomfortable times. We are designed to last. Wherever we're planted, we're called to be faithful and stick it out. We are called to be faithful and to stick it out. Hallelujah. We're called to shine. We're called to shine and to display the glory of the Lord there in that place. As uncomfortable and as bad as it may seem, God planted you there to shine his glory. God planted you there to make a difference. Who sang this last Sunday? You did, Mitch? This Little Light of Mine? You use that? We know that song. This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. You know where that's from? That's from the Bible. If you didn't know, you know, somebody didn't just like make it up. That's the word. That's the word. Luke 8:16 says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. You lit the lamp, people. You decided, you made the choice to accept Jesus into your heart. So don't go hiding your lamp under the bed. You're going to set your house on fire. That's when things go, you know, to hell in a handbasket, when you're trying to hide your light and do things your own way. You lit the light, so you shine it. Shine it. That's what you were designed to do. Shine it. Shine it. Hallelujah. The trees of the Lord aren't bothered by drought or heat. When things get a little hot, do you see trees walking around like, it's too hot here, I'm leaving? You know, no, trees stay there. Trees don't move. They don't go to find easier ground. The trees of the Lord are designed to stay green and never stop producing. Psalms 1. Yeah. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 6. I'm back in the New Living, Lucy, in case you haven't. I was going to do this, but I'm too comfortable with mine. Psalms 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. That'll preach by itself. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Here we go. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. So every little storm that comes along, there they go. There they go. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Instead of trying to move myself or pray that things will be easier, our roots just need to grow deeper. You know, there's a water table under the ground everywhere. And if you go deep enough, you will get water. So even in the desert, even when you feel like it's dried up raisin, like, God, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Yes, there is. Go deeper. Go deeper. Let your roots grow deeper. Find the water. You do it. You press on. It's there. God is always there. His Spirit is always there. Just press on. Just press down. Grow down deeper, 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 and draw up the water, because you are designed to last. You are made with quality wood. You are an oak of righteousness planted by the Lord to display His splendor. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to me the other day, He said, stop praying to God to do something in your situation. For God to do something with your family, your job, your friends, etc. He did do something. He planted you there. He already did something. He planted you there. An oak of righteousness that's designed not to be bothered by the heat of the situation, but instead display His glory there. It's about one of those things that makes you feel like this big, you know? But instead of us being like, God, move in my school. God, move in my family. God, and He's like, you are there. Shine the glory that is on the inside of you. You are there. Hallelujah. We are the answer. God is reminding us who is on the inside of you. Who's on the inside? 1 John 4, 4 through 6. I'm just going to read this because, yeah. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. That was speaking of people with antichrist spirits. Anybody here know anybody with a little antichrist spirit? Yes. Okay. The word says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are of the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. But verse 6 says, we are from God. Who are we from? Who are we designed by? Who are we designed for? We belong to God. Denise said it this morning. We belong to God. We are created by Him. And it's up to us to step into that reality ourselves. We lit the light, but you can either hide it under your bed and set your house on fire. Did you guys hear about that guy who lit his house on fire trying to kill a spider? No? No? Remember that, Mitch? We watched that video. There was something that was floating around. You know, when we start acting dumb, dumb things happen, okay? You know, some guy lit his house on fire trying to kill a spider. Don't hide your light under your bed or under a basket. Your whole, it's going to blow back in your face. God wants you to display His glory. His glory. He wants your face to shine. Who was it that I always get? The guy, Moses? Moses had gone up to the mountain and he came back. He had to put a sheet over his head. He had to put a sheet over his face. Like, imagine that. Imagine Pastor Calvin walked up and we're like, oh, the light. You know, like, put like a, you know, one of those decency cloths over his face. But that's how we're designed to be. We're designed to shine. We're designed to shine. God wants us to shine. Yeah, we'll have to come into church with our shades on. Like, Pastor Calvin's preaching, gotta get our shades. That's right. The glory's on the rise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us, for this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. We are from God. The Holy Spirit is in us. Greater is He who is in who? Us. Greater is He who is in us. We need to like put a sticky note on our forehead or something. It's like, I got someone greater than this person standing in front of me. And it's not even them, because God has a design for their life. It's just the devil. So instead of looking at a person and hating a person, we need to realize who is at work in this situation. Who's really at work? Is it them? No, because God loved them. God loves them. I don't know why I said that. Somebody needed that. So who planted us where we are? Why? For His glory, for God's glory. We belong to Christ. He lives in us, so we should shine like He does. If you think about it, Like, really think about it. How does somebody know that you're a Christian? How would somebody know that you're a Christian? Just think about it. You reflect in your own mind. How would somebody know you, yourself? How would they know you're a Christian? Would it be because you have the accessories? You have the t-shirt? You have the WWJD, you know, bracelet? People don't even wear those anymore. You know, the t-shirt, you have if you play your music extra loud, somebody will hear little Lecrae in the background or whatever. You know, like, how if somebody took it all away, everything, you know, your car that has a, you know, little fish sticker on it or whatever, and all of that stuff, if we all looked the same, dressed the same, how would somebody know? How would somebody know? Recently, I saw a little bit of the movie with Ewan McGregor, The Island. Anybody ever watch that? No? It's weird. It's a weirdo movie. But it's about, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But anyways, they have all these people, and they're wearing the exact same thing. They're wearing these little white, you know, like Nike running suits, and that's it. You can't tell one person apart from the other. If it was that way in our lives, how would anybody know? By our love, by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that should just shine out through us. People should just be able to tell that they should just feel like that you should just have people gravitate to you. And if we're repulsing people, there's a problem. There's a, you know, if we're turning people away, if nobody wants to have lunch with you or sit at your table, you know, or talk to you or be involved with you because of your attitude or whatever, there's something wrong. The Holy Spirit and the signs and fruit that it produces, people need it. People need it. People need what we have. And people are literally dying to get it. You know, those people that do like jihad and all of those things, they're trying to get the glory that we freely got through Christ. They're trying to earn their way. But we have it. We have the Spirit and the workings. Barbara talked about it a couple Wednesdays ago, the signs and workings of the Spirit. You know, wisdom, special knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecies, discerning spirits, tongues, interpreting tongues. The Holy Spirit wants us to move in all of those. You know, we should have the supernatural occurrences be natural in our life. You know, like, and what is our reaction to stuff? Like, if we have a worker, coworker, who's sitting there like, oh man, my head just hurts like really bad. It's like, that's the door. That's the door. When, you know, we know our heart when how we react to stuff. How we react to things, you know, what comes out of our mouth. We've heard other preachers, and I've heard this numerous times, like, you know what's in your heart when you stub your toe. You know, your little toe, you're running late, and both kids are screaming, and somebody just spilled water all over themselves, and you can't find your car keys, and that's when you know what you got on the inside of you. And I tell you what, Sunday mornings are not always the easiest time to get out of the house. Testify. But God wants us to have his character all the time. All the time. Character produced, that kind of godly character, all those things, the workings should be produced by a life connected with the Spirit. And then that makes the fruit. You know, those are the workings, and then there's the fruit, the character that we're supposed to have. And we know these, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Mitch talked about these last Sunday, that they're action nouns, that we have to do them. If we, you know, we just talk about them or put a tattoo on our arm about them or whatever and not live them, it's wasted. And Barbara said love. They'll know that we are Christians by our love. There's that little song. You guys know that one? No, we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Yeah. You sang last week, I sang this week, so we're good. You know, in the King James Version, patience is long-suffering. Long-suffering? The oaks of righteousness, the trees planted by the riverbank that endure through drought, through hardship, through the heat, that they're not worried about the season of heat or drought. Their leaves stay green and they keep producing fruit. That is one of the fruits or the characters that we need to have is long suffering. When things get stupid, you know, when things get tough, instead of just, that's it, I'm out. Ask God, God, help me to shine your glory. What would you have me do? And whatever he tells you to do, do it, because that's his voice and he never fails. He never makes mistakes. Revelations, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, the trees were used to heal the nations. So that the fruit of the trees were used for food and that the leaves were used for healing. You know, something that that we need to realize about this whole spirit thing, knowing who is on the inside of us, it's not so that we can live this happy, perfect life. It's not about us. It's so much bigger than that. It is about healing the nations. The fruit was used for food. How many of you guys know people like food? People come places for food. You know, we have more people come on potless Sundays than any other Sunday. That's not a mistake. People love food. People need to be fed by what you have. They should leave feeling better. They should leave feeling fuller. After they leave hanging out with you or being around you, they should leave feeling better than when they weren't, than when they weren't with you. It's not about us. Reuben had shared Acts 1:8, that we're to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. Why? Why did we receive the power? It says so that we could be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are designed to be a witness to the world. A witness to the world. What does that mean? You know, can I get a witness? You know, what does that mean? In a court of law, a witness is somebody who is there, somebody who saw, somebody who experienced it. That's what we're designed to be. We're designed to be those people that God's real because I was there. I experienced it. You want some too? Here. We got the fruit. Feed them. Feed them with what you have. Hallelujah. We can't be a black hole. A black hole of the Spirit. I mean, you know, coming to church and we just suck in, but we never produce. That's what a black hole does. It just consumes. It just consumes what's around it. And it's invisible. You know, they're just there. God doesn't want us to be invisible. He doesn't want us to just consume and not produce. He meant for us to create life with the fruit of the Spirit that he gave us. He wants us to be the proof of himself to the world. The proof of God to the world. That's what we've been designed to do, to shine the glory of God. Whatever it takes, wherever God takes you and plants you, it's with the purpose of shining his glory, displaying his glory in that place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we aren't going to use it, why have it? Like, why are we coming to church if we don't want to really live it? You know, is it to fulfill, like, this religious obligation that we think that we have to do because it's the right thing to do and that's the, you know, good old American thing to do? You go to church on Sunday and then you have, you know, whatever, you go have family dinner and all kinds of stuff. Like, that's not what this was designed to be for. We're designed to carry his glory to the nations, to shine his glory. We're to be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the displaying of his splendor. God has raised us up out of nothingness. The word says that he called us out of darkness and into the light. He raised us up out of junk, out of mud, out of every stupid thing that we ever did. He raised us up and said, here's my love and my glory. All I'm asking you to do is to share it. And does that mean that you have to go and be a global evangelist in India or go and, you know, whatever? If that's what God's telling you to do, then sure. But God is designed for you to share and shine his glory wherever you are. Whether that's in your classroom, or that's in your job, or that's with your family. Wherever you are, don't try to change where you are. The Bible says, you know, if you were a slave when you became a believer, don't try to be free. And if you're free, don't become a slave. You know, it's don't try to change where you are. Just display God's glory and things will change around you. Because where the light is, darkness cannot stay. Hallelujah. We're not designed to just exist, to just be. We're designed to shine God's glory. Hallelujah. The word calls us a city on a hill that can't be hidden. Oaks of righteousness displaying the Lord's splendor. Wherever God has put us right now is so that we can succeed. Do you guys know that? Like, God wants you to succeed. He wants you to be employee of the month. He wants you to be on the honor roll. He wants you to be the captain of the team and be, you know, the MVP and whatever. Because God wants to display and shine his glory through you in every sphere of influence that you're in. He wants you to be the best. You know, Joseph, God raised him up from being a slave to being, you know, like the number two guy in all Egypt. Like, wow. Daniel, same thing, his friends. God wants you. It doesn't have to be this huge religious thing. When people see you succeed, they're going to wonder why. Like, what do you have? What do you have that, I mean, we both work 40 hours a week. What are you doing that I'm not doing? Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God has given you the glory and the ability to shine. He wants you to succeed. It is his year and time of favor for your life. It is time for promises to be fulfilled, for things to be restored, for the dams to be breaking. Things that were once held back are going to be bursting forth. It's so that you can shine to the world. Shine his glory to the world. To bless many, to heal the nations. Hallelujah. Lasting through every storm and season, bearing fruit always, never giving up. What is that? That's part of that whole love thing, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love never gives up. That's us. We are oaks of righteousness. If you get anything from today, Isaiah 61:3, they will be called, we will be called. Speak it over yourself. I am an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display God's splendor on this earth. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes wherever you are. Actually, don't. Look, open your eyes. Look around. You see everybody standing up? I see a forest of oak trees. In the word, it said that there were many trees planted along the riverbanks. You're not alone in what you're doing. You're not alone in your job, in your situation, with your family, friends or no friends, whatever. You're not alone. Every tree and every person matters. Because together, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what the word says. Greater is he who is in you. Greater is he who is in me, in the church, in us, than he that is in the world. Go ahead and close your eyes now. Hallelujah. And just these next few moments, don't worry about, you know, all the services closing. I gotta close my Bible and pack up my purse and all that. Just for a minute. Nobody's looking at you because everybody else has their eyes closed. And if you open your eyes, God sees you, so you're not fooling anybody. But just reflect on your own life. You know the place where you need to shine the glory. You know it. I don't need to know it. Nobody else needs to know it. You know it. Whether it's a relationship with your spouse, whether it's with people at work, people at school, your children, wherever it would be, Lord, reveal it to them right now. Put it in their heart where they need to shine your glory. And now that it's in your mind, just pray to God. Ask him. Ask him how you would have, how, Lord, what would you have me do? How can I shine your glory? What would you have me do, God? Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for being self-centered, worrying about our own feelings and our own problems and whatever. But it's so much bigger than that. So much bigger. So much more. You have designed us for so much more, to display your glory over all the earth, Lord. What a privilege. And Lord, we are sorry for trashing that privilege, treating it like it's nothing. Oh, Lord. Lord, help us to shine your glory. What would you have us do? What would you have us say, God? Because we want to be that city on a hill, burning brightly for all to see, letting our light shine, putting it in the window for all to see. Shola karamashte karimashe kokore moshte. Oh, yes, Lord. Shine your glory. Thank you, Lord. He's so worthy. He says, I've called you for so much more. So much more. So much more. What those people have said about you, what you've heard people have said about you behind your back, that stuff's not true. You need to know what I say about you, says the Lord. that I've created you to be the head and not the tail, to be successful and not a failure. Because I planted you. I designed you. I made you with quality material. You can last through this, and you're going to shine. You're going to shine. If there's anybody here that needs prayer for anything, if you want to rededicate your life, if you need prayer for healing, whatever, it's open for you. And I invite you to come. God says it's his year of favor. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Just thank him. We're all right. We're going to leave here pretty soon, but just spend a few moments. Just thank him. The word says that the key to getting our prayers answered is not to just worry about it, to hope about it, whatever. It says, in the word, it says to tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. So just tell God whatever you need, whatever you're asking for, and then just begin to thank him. Thank him for what he's already done. Lord, you are good. Hallelujah. These next few moments, don't disconnect. Don't disconnect. Just seek him. Just seek him. He wants to speak just to you, directly to you. Sylvester came up right now. He's asking for a prayer for his eyes. He swims a lot and they've been getting bothered. So I just ask for everybody, one of the best ways to receive is to pray for somebody else. The word says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So right now we're focusing our attention. We're extending our prayers towards Sylvester right now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for his life. And I thank you right now, Lord, that your word does not come back void, but it goes forth and accomplishes and fulfills its purpose. Thank you, Lord, that your glory is shining through all the age and that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God that moved with a pillar of fire and smoke is moving right now in Sylvester's body. And Lord, we just say right now in Jesus' name that the word of God be fulfilled in his body, that everything would come into alignment, that every nerve ending, everything, every part of his eye would just come into alignment right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. No more irritation, no more redness, no more watering, no more itching. Ha ha, life and life more abundantly to these eyes. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. He said they feel better. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 God works and he moves. He cares about things that we care about. It wasn't some, you know, we weren't opening blind eyes or whatever, but he said that he's been swimming a line that his eyes have been just bothering him. God cares about that. He cares about little things. And he cares about big things. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs we have on our head. Who cares about that? God does. God cares about, Why do I want to know? But God knows. He knows and he cares about it. So don't ever think that your prayer is too small or insignificant, that God can't answer and that he doesn't want to do it. Because he does. And his glory is there to shine in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? We're good? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. Let's just lift our hands. Just thank him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that we are built to last and you will receive every ounce of glory and honor and praise. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus, you are Lord. And we say it right now. Jesus, you are awesome. You are great. You are victorious, and Lord, just shine through us. Show us new ways to shine your glory. Things that didn't work in the past are going to begin to work now. We thank you, Lord, that walls are coming down. People that weren't reachable before are going to be reachable now. We thank you, Lord, that your glory is shining. We say, here we are, Lord, use us for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
I've been fighting with God about this. I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know if I need to share this, but I hope this is for someone. Was it Wednesday I came to see you? On Tuesday, I'd been feeling like my body's been out of alignment. My hip, I really felt my right leg was leaning a little bit more on my right side, and I was almost feeling as though my right leg was a little longer in a sense and that I was overcompensating. And that was on Tuesday, and on Wednesday morning, I'd woken up, and there was some discomfort in my feet, in my left foot. And as I got my shoes on and I was heading downstairs to go to work, there was a sharp pain kind of between my big toe and the next one, sort of in that middle part of my foot, enough that I don't normally talk about what's happening in my body, but I went over to see Mitch and asked him when he'd be available and if he could just kind of take a look, and I explained what was going on with my hip the previous day and wondering if there was a correlation between the two. And I had a lot of walking to do that particular Wednesday, up and back from the front of the school. My office is in the back, but a lot of what I'm doing is in various parts of the school, so I was doing a lot of walking. And as I was praying, I was praying, and I was just saying, Lord, I know you're my healer. I know that this is not how I'm supposed to be living, that I'm not supposed to have any pain. And it was a sharp pain. I have a pretty high pain tolerance. Maybe I had a big brother who beat up on me a lot, but I have a pretty high pain tolerance. And it was one of those things, it's like, God, I can't walk all day like this. And I don't know, was it about 10 o'clock? When did I text you? 10, 11 o'clock? I don't remember quite when it was. I was sitting at my desk doing some work and getting ready to go back up to the counselor's office or something. I think that's what it was. I had a meeting at about 11:30. And I wasn't even thinking about it. At that point, I had almost gotten used to the pain in my left foot. And I was like, okay, it's there. And I started walking towards the hallway. And I stopped myself. And I realized there was no pain in my foot. The sharp pain that was bothering me all morning, I had prayed it through. I thanked God for it. I started walking without even realizing there was nothing there. Glory to God. And I'm going to say first and foremost, if you need faith, enough faith for your healing or for something going on, then you need to call upon those in the church who have the faith to pray with you through something. But I'm going to tell you the flip side of it. Don't wait till somebody can pray with you, that God will meet you right where you're at. I was sitting at my desk and saying, Lord, this is not how you created me. You didn't design me to have discomfort in my hip and a sharp pain in my foot. I said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm walking my life out in faith. And I was walking and I'm like, ow, ow, ow. You know, on the inside of my foot, it was like, okay, Lord, I'm walking in faith that I am healed in Jesus' name. And that was up until about 11:30, I think. And I stepped out of my office walking, not even thinking that I didn't have pain in my foot. And I stopped. And I said, Lord, you healed me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So whether or not you need someone praying for you, Call a brother or sister in Christ, whatever it may be, but call on God as well. You have the same faith that our pastors have, and they have believed for miraculous things that have come to pass. You have the same faith I have. We have the same faith God has because He gave it to us. So believe that you receive it and you will have it. Glory to God. We're dismissed. Have a great Sunday afternoon and a great week. And we'll see you on Wednesday at 6:30. Glory to God.